Wonderful thing to be here tonight with all of you. Again, always, it's the same that we can come together, assemble as God's dear children and to love Him, His Word, and to be concerned about the things of the Spirit. This morning, we read a scripture out of the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 10. And in that text, we learn something about ourselves. And what we learn, let me find that for you. Luke 17, verse 10, rather. Jesus says a parable about a servant and how a servant goes out into the field and his duty is to do the work that his master's called him to do. And Jesus makes the notation that when a servant finishes his work and he comes into the house, that he doesn't just sit down and be served, but he sits down and he continues to serve the master. And he tells us in verse 10, so likewise you, meaning us, his disciples, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, you say we are unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty to do. Well, I would like to at least launch off with that idea that we must be doing what it is our duty to do. And we have this new year rolling around. And there are things that we should be concerned about and that we should be resolute about. When you look up the word resolution on the dictionaries, one dictionary says it's a firm decision to do or not to do something. And remember, we're thinking here of spiritual things. And it's a firm decision to do something or not to do something. It also says it's the act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict, a problem, etc. The act of resolving something is what Webster says. And then again, with the same tone, the word resolve itself is to make a definite and serious decision to do something. And when we think about that in our own day-to-day lives, we really need to think through according to what the Scriptures would have us to be resolved about. And we need to be, first and foremost, resolved that God is God, that He is in heaven, Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Kings, He's our Lord and our Savior, and that He is also sitting in heaven. And that anyone who chooses or wishes to be saved can only be saved by the blood of Jesus. And we need to be resolved about that. We need to make that a resolute in our own lives. We don't want to be confused by the world and by its ways and so on, but we want to be servants of the Lord. We want to do all the commandments that He's commanded us to do and then understand that He's still so great and high above us. And so it's important for us to keep these definitions in our minds. On the internet, and I am not a cartoon reader, and most of you are going to understand this a whole lot better than I do. But on the internet, I saw a cartoon, and I'm pretty sure it was called Calvin and Hobbes. And the cartoon concerning New Year's resolution. And I, honestly, I don't even know if it was from this year, last year, 20 years ago. I don't know. But somebody posted it. And I honestly, I don't even know which one's Calvin and which one's Hobbes. So you'll have to help me. But the little boy, whoever that was, he was talking to a rather large cat. And he said to the cat, resolutions? Me? Just What do you think you're implying? You think that I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect in every way. And I think that the danger is that a lot of us, because we are good people, we're children of God, and we spent this last year, we've gone, many of us, especially those that are here tonight, Sunday after Sunday, we don't miss worship. We don't make excuses. Wednesday, when it's hard, we're there. Sunday morning, we're there. Sunday night, we're there. And sometimes, though, we start thinking that I've been doing all these things and I'm living a pretty good life, and you know, I think I'm doing what the Lord has told me, and so I've got nowhere to improve. I'm kind of perfect now. And that's so far from the truth, isn't it? We know that. You know, when you think about that, there are some things that are perfect in every way. For example, God. He's perfect in every way. You look and see what Psalm 18, chapter verse 30 has to say about God. For God, His way is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. The word of the Lord is proven. Whatever the word of the Lord says, it has come to pass. And if it's yet to come, it will come to pass. And He is a shield to all those who trust in Him. He's your shield. He's my shield. Every one of us who trusts in our great God, we understand that He's a perfect God, that His plan is the perfect plan, His will is perfect, His way is proven over and over and again from history upon history upon history. And so, we serve a perfect God. God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us, God who cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 28, it tells us the same thing. God who cannot lie. And so we serve a God who's perfect. God can't be tempted. We hear that from James, that whenever a man is tempted, let him not say that I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth He any man. We're all tempted by lusts and by the things of this world. But God, He's not tempted. There is nothing about God that would tempt Him, because there's nothing He needs. He's perfect in every way. God does not sin. You think about the Hebrew writer when he wrote, "For we do not have a high priest," speaking of Jesus, God in the flesh, "who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted, just as we were, yet without sin." What a wonderful God we served this past year. What a wonderful God we served this past moment. And Lord willing, we'll be serving Him for another year if He graces us with another year of life. God is perfect. Christ is perfect. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 2, the writer says, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty." Now, I want you to think about that. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Who came out of Zion? Who was it? It's talking about Jesus. The perfection of beauty. The Jesus who died for us. The Jesus who loves us. The Jesus who gave us an entrance into heaven through His blood. The one who is an intercessor on our behalf. The one who stands before the throne of God on our behalf. Christ is perfect in every way. Beautiful He is. The perfection of beauty is Christ. He's also the perfect author of our salvation. Again, in the book of Hebrews, just a few chapters back in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 9, we read about Jesus having been perfected, it tells us, that He became the author and the finisher of our eternal salvation to all who obey Him.
And that's why
we're here, isn't it? Because we love the Lord with all of this heart, with our mind, with all our strength.
We're here because we put God first. Nobody on this earth is before God. Remember Jesus, he when the man wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, let the dead bury. He says, I'm going to go back and bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead.
Listen, no one can be more important than our God and our Savior.
He's our high priest, and he's perfect forever.
The law appoints as a high priest men who have weakness.
That's what the old law did.
But the word of the Lord, the word of the oath of God,
which came after the law,
appoints a son who has been perfect forever.
Not has ever been anything less than perfect.
That's who Jesus is.
That's who we put our trust in. That's who...
lifting us up when we cast our sorrows upon Him and our sorrows upon Him and our sorrows upon Him. And His shoulders are so wide and so strong. And we come to Him with all of our troubles. And He can help us through the troubles.
Because He gives us strength. He's been doing that this past year to every one of us who believes.
Jesus is perfect.
What about the Word of God,
that which is perfect? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, after Paul talks about the greatness of love,
he says, but when that which is perfect comes, that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect is God's Word.
Right here. It wasn't Jesus. It was God's Word. How do I know that, preacher? How do you know that, preacher? Well, I know that because the word that in Greek is a neutered term, and the word perfect is a word that actually means being made perfect, something being assembled and becoming perfect.
You see, that's what
He gave us.
Wonderful gift.
He gave us His blood and sacrifice upon the cross, but then He gave us the Word of God so that we can come and learn of Him, learn of the Father, learn of heaven. Burn of hell.
But through that perfectness, we can come to Him and we can know the truth.
And that truth can set us free.
The perfect law of liberty, James calls it.
That's what we need to look into. We need to be that man who's perfecting himself, looking into the perfect law of liberty, seeing what kind of a person we are, and allowing that law of liberty to change us, to become perfect. And that's our goal in this year to come.
You know, what does the Scripture actually say about man and compared to God?
In the book of Job, chapter 22, and in verse 2,
we read, can a man be profitable to God?
Can we? Is there something that I can do to make his life better?
Can I do something to enhance the heavens above?
Am I able to do something to make him so that he can just take a day off and he doesn't need to listen to people's problems?
He doesn't need to be concerned about the things of this world and how he can have his hand in the lives of all of us who love him.
Can I change that somehow?
No, I cannot do that. If I'm smart, in other words, if I'm wise,
I can listen to the Scriptures and I can hear the counsel of wisdom and it can profit me.
But I can't fix any problems or help God in any way.
He's the one that's helping us.
God is there to help us.
He's there to lift us up when we have the sorrows upon sorrows. He's there to guide us in the light, in the right way to live. He's there to instruct us in all righteousness and truth. In Job chapter 35 and verse 7, we read that if you're righteous, what do you give God? Or what does He receive from your hand? What we can give God isn't something that He is going to be bettered by. We can give Him praise and adoration. We can bring glory to His most high and holy name. But we're not making Him better than He is. He is making us better than we are. By the Spirit of truth, by the power of the blood, through His Son Jesus, He's given us every benefit. What's left? So what's not so perfect is man, of course. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a just man on the earth, Solomon says, who does good and does not sin. Solomon was a very wise man. We can't be profitable. We can't give Him something from our hand that's going to enhance His experience. God. But we can rejoice because we can be made perfect by His blood. That doesn't mean that I'm going to live a perfect life. It doesn't mean that I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and absolutely walk the right path, that I'm never going to sin again. We know that's a foolish thought. The Scripture tells us if a man says he has no sin, the truth is not in him. But He makes us perfect, mark my word, through His blood. His blood washes away all our sins. At the moment we give ourselves over to Him with a confession of who He is and a repenting of our sin and being baptized in that water, we come in contact with that blood, and His blood washes away all our sins. You become white as snow. You become perfect in the eyes of God through the blood of Christ. He did that to everyone who has obeyed Him. For all of us who are here tonight that have obeyed the gospel of Christ, have given up our personal human spirit, who have come to understand that we're not profitable to God. We're not the ones that made everything. We're not the ones that hold everything together with the word of our mouths. We're not the ones with all that great power and omnipotent, omnipresent. We're not the ones. He is. We're the ones that should just simply say that I'm just doing what You command me to do, Lord. And that's enough for me. That's enough for me. We can be perfected through His blood. In Romans chapter 5, much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved through Him. And in John chapter 17 and 23, Jesus prays to the Father that He would be in us and that God would be in Him, that they, us, may be made perfect in one. And so we are. Don't ever forget that. You're assembling and worshiping and praising God, and the work that you do outside this building for God, all the prayers and all the times in which you've visited people or written cards or uplifted a brethren who's down or offered a little bit of help here and there, mowed a lawn, washed a window, made food for somebody. Everything that you've ever done is recorded by Him who loves us and who has made us perfect by His blood. We need to think about that. Listen, the church, mankind, His blood, has all come down to the church of the firstborn. That's what you are. Your name is registered in heaven. It's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've obeyed Christ, and you've been made perfect and just through Him. That's what the Hebrew writer says. You've come to Mount Zion in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And I want to tell you, the immutable company of angels and the general assembly all around.
The church of the firstborn,
whose names are registered in heaven, the
scripture says. To God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect because you love Christ more than yourself.
Jesus, He's the mediator of the new covenant, that new precious law
by which His blood
sprinkled upon us
gives us greater and better things.
It's amazing to think that we've spent this whole entire year doing what we do, and God knows every second of every person's life. He knows your prayers. He remembers your prayers. Your prayers are stored up in vials in heaven. They're sweet incense to Him. He knows your works. He knows what you've done and what you haven't done. There's nothing more motivating to me to make a resolution to make next year even more for the Lord. With my life, with my words, with my meditations and my prayers. So God loved us. And He gave us His Son. And Christ's blood, that will bring redemption to all of us. You know, we need to think hard about what we've done and what we can do in this next year. If the Lord wills, if He allows us to even live past tonight, what can we do to bring more glory and honor to God with our lives? Resolutions for the new year. Pretty simple. You know, the first thing I'm thinking here is we need to reflect on our relationship last year. How were we last year? You know, with our Father in heaven in James 4:8, draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Are we doing that? Is that something that we've made and established a relationship with our God by drawing near to Him, meditating upon His Word, seeking Him out with all that we have within us? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, we think about our brethren. Think about the brethren. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verses 9 through 10. This starts out with these wonderful words concerning brotherly love, Paul writes. I have no need that I should write to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That the Lord Himself would come here one day and say, I had no need to talk to you, to write to you about brotherly love. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And is that something that we can be better at in the year to come? Indeed, we need to love one another more. And indeed, the Scripture says you do so toward all the brethren. You know, in your Bible it says who are in Macedonia. But here it's who are in Bedford, who are in Stowe, and who are in all the different burgs here, Oakwood and Garfield and just all around this community. But we urge you, he says, brethren, that you increase more and more. So in the year to come, we love one another as best we can. But in the next year, are we going to try to make that even more love? Are we going to share ourselves with our brethren more, increasing all the more? What about the people in the world? How have we established relationships with the people in the world? You know this scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following, 14. You are the light of the world, right? You're the salt of the earth. And we need to be a people who taste good to the world around us, who look good to the world around us. We don't want to be that city that's hidden somewhere. We want to be that light that's up there on that hill. We want people to be drawn to us. And we may have been doing that this past year, but be resolved. Think about how great our God is. Think about how great the Savior is. And think about how wonderful and precious the promises that He's given us are. And the fact that He can't lie. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also." That's what He's saying to all of us who believe and obey. But that Lord wants us to do work while we're here. We don't want to put the lamp under the basket. We don't want to hide something on our hilltop. We want this out there. We want the good works to be seen by the world so that they can glorify God our Father who's in heaven. That's something we should be thinking about. For the new year to come, let's resolve to draw near to God. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts." So in the year to come, we need to draw near to God. We need to look for that compassionate high priest in our life, as we read about in Hebrews chapter 14, verses 14 through 16. We have a high priest, not just a high priest, but a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. That's Jesus. That's Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast to the profession of our faith, the confession that we made to serve Him. We don't have a high priest, remember, that can't sympathize with our problems, because He was here and He was tempted in all points just like we were. We need to boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. That's what we need to meditate on and make our lives more valuable to Him in the year to come. In Philippians chapter 4, we all know what Paul said. Meditate on these things. That's what we need to do. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Listen, we need to resolve to do that this year. These things we need to meditate on. In other words, make sure that every part of every day, there's a part of every day that you spend time in God's Word and you continue to grow, because that pleases God. If there's anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, the things which you have seen or learned or heard from Him, those things do, He says, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a resolution for the new year. Become closer to the brethren. You know, think about this. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 14, I want you to really think, as you read this scripture, but I hope to see you shortly. 3 John, chapter 1, verse 14. "I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you." Greet the friends by name. Do you know every name of every brother and sister here in this congregation? I hope you do. And if you don't, go visit. Make sure
But you think about those words,
"But I hope to see you shortly."
So that we can speak face to face. When you have the brethren here, we don't want to have that mindset that, "Well, I'll see you next week."
We would be urged to see one another periodically throughout the days. Find time to visit with one another. There are many members who need
support and visits and encouragement. We need to do that. Hope to see you shortly.
Yeah, not, "Bye, brother, see you next week. And I don't know anything about you the rest of the week. I have no idea what you're doing. I don't know if you're hurting. If you're not hurting, I don't know if you're
in good shape, if you're struggling.
I don't know what's going on in your life. All I know is I'll see you next Sunday."
Be resolved. Have that in you that you want to see them shortly, not just next week.
In 1 Peter we read, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another."
As good stewards of God, we want to do that. Become closer to one another.
That's what we need to do. We need to reflect on last year, our relationship with our Father, with relationship with the brethren, with relationship with Christ. And then this coming year, we need to draw nearer to God, even closer than we were.
And we need to come closer to the brethren. And we need to come closer to non-Christians. Brother Andy mentioned today about setting up Bible studies. You have friends and neighbors. Set up a Bible study. I'd be more than happy to come 7 days a week. At least 6 days a week anyway.
And study Bibles with anybody.
You set them up.
We'll fulfill the Bible study. That's one wonderful way of getting somebody to know Christ.
So get to know people. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to these in Thessalonica, "And may the Lord make you increase
and abound in love to one another and to all." And notice what he said, "just as we do to you." Just as we do to you. We need to treat one another in that great way and respect one another and increase and abound in love to one another more and more and more. But we need to do that to all. We don't want to be Christians wrapped up in a little tight shell over here that nobody in the neighborhood knows what we think. Nobody in our neighborhood or where I work has any clue of what I believe.
Open the box and let the gift out.
Galatians chapter 6:10 says something very similar. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith." Do good to all men.
That's a command.
So, for the next year, that's what we want to do. Draw nearer to God. Become closer to one another. And get to know more people, that we might be able to reach them for the sake of God and His church.
You know, is it too much to ask for the children to be like their father? It shouldn't be.
In the natural world that we live in, we hear that all the time. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In the spiritual world, it needs to be exactly the same. We need that apple not to fall, and it's not the apple from Eden. We don't know what that was, right? But we need that apple to fall close to the tree.
The closer, the better. We need to be like our Father in heaven.
Is it too much to expect us from us who love God with all of our hearts,
our soul, our strength, our mind, that we also love our neighbor as ourselves? The promise is that if we draw near to God, remember what James said, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near unto you." Draw near unto God. Meditate on these things.
Like in the Psalms, meditate day and night on the word of the Lord.
That's the promise.
We need to live in such a way
that
others will remember our work and our faith and our love and our labor and our patience and the hope that we have, that we can share the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father with the rest of the world. That's what we need to do. When should I start? You already know the answer, don't you? Are you already at the pinnacle of your Christianity? I'm not. I've never met a gospel preacher who would admit that he was. And we want to make sure that we're constantly climbing up that hill. So when should we start? Listen, the Scripture is very clear. You don't know what happens tomorrow. For what is your life? Even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I hope those words of encouragement will help you to think more about what we need to do. What we need to do to please God and to be part of His kingdom upon this earth. And to be able to, day after day, not year after year, but day after day, increase in knowledge, increase in understanding, and increase in our serving. He's done everything possible for us. It's not that much that we do something for Him. Appreciate your kind attention. You know, if there's anyone here that has not been baptized into Christ, the invitation tonight is for you. Over and over again, the Lord will extend that invitation as long as the world exists. More as long as your life exists. And all He wants is for you to come to Him and admit, I'm a sinner. I am. That's pretty clear. If I understand what sin is, a lie, a cheating, a stealing, a hurting somebody, if I understand that it's just simply breaking any of God's laws, then yeah, I'm a sinner. And I want to be saved by grace. Step forward. I can confess that Jesus is the Christ. I can repent of my sin. Baptized for remission of my sins. And I can be added to the body of Christ. And then the rest of my life, do what we've talked about here tonight. Seek to be close to God. Love the brother more and more. And go out in the world and seek the lost. If you have not been baptized, ready to help you in any way that we can this night. If you're a Christian and you've erred and you're not, your worship to God isn't as it should be, or your life that you've been living isn't as it should be, and you want to make things right, even this night, the church is here to help you in any way. And if you would come forward this night as we stand and as we sing.